What is up, podheads? Back with another episode of the Podio Slave Podcast. My name is Tony. I'm joined by Anthony. And don't worry, we're not going to talk 45 minutes of NBA basketball tonight. There might be some hockey. I can't remember if we recorded all the hockey stuff or not, but if it is, it's brief. We're back to our old ways of an hour and 10 minutes of music nerdery, which you come to us for every week, hopefully. Please and thank you.
But we could go. Like, that's, you know, sometimes at work as an icebreaker and like team events, they're like, what's your hidden talent? Well, we're as big sports fans as we are music fans, which we don't really get into.
No.
In 200 episodes, like last week with Benny was maybe the most.
Easily the longest, the most. For sure.
The longest we've ever chatted sports. And we get range.
We did it way back with Jason Tate. We talked a little NBA with Jason Tate. Yeah.
Oh, and Emma from Dying Wish.
We talked a little NBA with Emma. Yeah. We've NBA is typically our go-to if we're going to talk, but we could do baseball. I'm a Red Sox fan. You're a Yankee fan. We could do football. We're both gigantic Patriots fans. Like, we could do this all day, but we don't. We do music because that's kind of our happy place.
I was going to say it's definitely more affordable to watch. Mm-hmm. Although you can be a casual fan. It actually is very easy to be both a casual music fan and a sports fan.
Yes. And being a casual sports fan, so long as you're not betting the farm every game, is probably a little cheaper. Going to shows versus going to games, I'll take that $15, $20 show versus a $200 nosebleed seat all fucking day. So that's why we're doing this, I think, right?
And where we're at in the Northeast, like, to see a good sporting event, you gotta go to Mass.
Good travel, yeah.
Like, we chat about it. It's like a $1,000 night. It can be. Like, you get good, decent seats, hotel, travel.
You lose that four-teamer, yep.
Yeah, you lose the four-team parlay.
It goes $400.
You're done. Yeah, there'll be no betting tips on this episode tonight.
No, yeah. But we do appreciate you coming back. If you are with us from any of the kind of run we've had here in 2024 so far, whether it be Perfect Songs episode, whether it be Tucker on episode 200 from Thursday, or Crime Hysteria, we had Alex Dunn for two, or Benny last week. Thank you. If not, and you're just here because you like us or you like Cosmic Joke, we appreciate that too. And this was an awesome one.
Yeah, let's chat Cosmic Joke before we start. So near the end of this convo, we chat with Mac about how they put out the album. At the time of recording, they put out the album, but they haven't played shows with those new songs in the set list. So like that's a crazy feeling. It's like the equivalent of like a kid on Christmas Eve. Like there's a lot of anticipation. You don't know what you're going to get. You don't know who's going to be singing along. Are you going to get that
Santa reel?
Are you going to get that N64?
N64. What is this, 1997? Yeah. Is that when that came out? I can't even remember, but it's back in that time. Yeah.
Are you going to be let down or are you going to get the N64? I think with Cosmic Joke, the album is perfect. 15 minutes, 9 songs. It's out on Triple B and Hardlore, kind of a collab type of thing. It doesn't miss. There's no skips. Perfect for that drive into work. We were hooked from the jump, and it's out now. So if you have not heard it, go check it out.
Yeah, it's been out now about a month as of you hearing this, but we're living in a world where it's only been out for about 10 days, but it's really good. And it scratches that sweet spot for me of the type of music from that scene that I want. And just from that opening riff on Kamikaze, man, go get it. Go listen to this right now. And it won't take you long, and you can listen to it a couple times. So rack up those spins, you know, give them a couple of pennies.
And I'll say this, Mac, if you're listening, I would say an all-time guest. You were great, man. Yeah. You, I like Cosmic Joke even more after listening to you. Cool dude. And I think we're going to get into it. Mac Miller, vocalist, Cosmic Joke from L.A. Mac Miller, coolest name in the biz, from the band with the coolest band name in the biz. And that's not blowing smoke, Mac. I that's the truth.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's great.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you as well, man. We're really excited to talk to you because when we saw the record come through that was coming out and the story behind it and all that, we're like, this is something that we're intrigued by. We need to see if Mac or somebody be down to talk. And then we heard the record and we were like, yeah, we definitely need to make this happen. So thank you for joining us, man.
Of course. Happy to be here.
So Mac, we were catching up before we were recording, and you're all over the country for your job. We're from the Northeast. You've been to Maine, and that's like a rare connection. Most guests don't even know where Maine is.
I've been quite a bit, mostly just to Portland, and I went to Bangor once. But yeah, I mean, I love Maine. I love the Northeast in general. Do we consider is Maine or part of New England?
Yeah,
still? It is. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I love New England in general.
We're the biggest state, man. Yeah. Not a lot of people, but yeah.
I was like, I don't know where the line cuts off there, but yeah. But yeah, been there quite a bit. It's great there.
Yeah, everyone just says that's part of Canada, and you got to like weigh them out. Yeah. Like, are you joking or are you serious? And some people, it's a mixed bag.
I could see why people would feel that way. I mean, if you just like got dropped off there and no one told you where you are, you could possibly think that, because for the most part, people are nicer there.
Nice, thanks.
Yeah. But yeah.
Especially right now with all the snow on the ground and it's cold.
Oh,
and
I can't imagine how it is right now. Jeez. Yeah, my mom actually just moved to Concord, New Hampshire, like a year ago. And she grew up in like Long Island in New York and stuff. And as long as I've been alive, I've been from LA or the LA area. So at some point when she was moving, she was like, yeah, you know, I want to go like back home. And I was like, what do you mean home? Home is here. It's like, not for me. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I never thought about it that way. So she's, yeah, dealing with some snow that she hasn't seen in 20, 30 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a shock again when it does finally come back the foray.
I always look at people from California as just so spoiled. Like, besides the weather, we're done with the weather talk because now I'm getting jealous, but the music. So obviously, well, not obvious. I don't know. Some people have different stories, but you're probably in your 30s. Do you grow up with music?
Yeah, I definitely first, I mean, at a young, young age, I was into, you know, boy bands. I'm 32. Just timeline wise, it's just what you're handed and you're like, oh, music's totally cool.
Yeah.
But when I was like 10, I think I had a babysitter who showed me Blink-182, and through them I like found out about Warped Tour and was like starting to find bands myself, but it's not like I had internet access even at that point really. So just go into record shops like or you know, while my parents are shopping, look in the CD section somewhere and just ask someone like, what should I listen to if I like this? And started getting turned on to punk bands. And when I was 12, I went to my first Warped Tour, I think probably to see, I mean, what was happening at the time was like Sugar Cult and Newfound Glory and stuff, spin-offs of, you know, the Blink-182 sound. And then I got there and just, it's my aunt took me actually and dropped me off and then went to reverse daycare. So I just walked around at 12 years old with my like makeshift Liberty Spikes for the day, just by unattended, and you know, found Bad Religion, NOFX, Bouncing Souls, Anti-Flag, Lars and the Bastards, like all kinds of bands, and was just like, there's a lot of this and this is me now. And that was just like the end of it all. I think 3 years later, like, started a punk band when I was 15 with my younger brothers, like just a local first kid band. And then we did that for the next 10 years. And that's kind of the beginning of me both touring for my career and also playing in bands for fun as well. It just kind of all spiraled from there.
Yeah. And I mean, made it into both a hobby and a career, which is pretty cool. And we can relate to the hobby piece of it for sure. And totally just like the Blink-182 piece of it. Like, that band was a gateway for so many people from ages, our age, a little older than us, you know, early to mid 40s down to 27, 28, 29 year olds. It's wild how influential they were. And just the kind of the gateway drug, right? You open the door to, oh, there's more of this.
I mean, the accessibility of it to like, oh, it's some kid's birthday party and we're going to the roller rink and four songs in a row are Blink and Green Day, you know? It just, that's, especially in Southern California, it's so funny to think about how that works, because this slight tangent here, but like, my wife is from Texas, grew up in Texas, lived in Seattle a long time. And when she moved here, you know, we're driving around and I'm like, you know this song for sure. And I'm playing Face to Face. And she's like, who the fuck is Face to Face?
Who are you talking about, Matt?
Yeah, and, like, and I was like, well, you know, you got to know this Pennywise song. It's on the radio all the time. Like, not in Texas. Like,
right.
You know, it's so different here as far as like the sample of what people were getting from Tony Hawk was just actually the radio here, or at least on the bigger stations. But.
Well, it's funny. We actually have a third host who's not on this call with us, but he lives in Encinitas, and he's just like, yeah, just ran into Eric Melvin at the, you know, locally. And I'm like, well, that doesn't happen here.
At the,
you know
at
what
the
I
playground.
Mean? It was at the playground.
I mean, until a couple months ago, Fat Mike was actually my neighbor, like one block over.
Yeah, we don't get that in Portland, man.
No. Yeah. And that's a funny thing too. So like back to origins stuff. I started a band with my younger brothers when I was like 15, and it started as like just your first kid band. You're learning how to play instruments. You're doing a million cover songs, you know, and then we never broke up or started a new thing. And we started writing our own songs and started touring and stuff. And that's how I got into all this in the first place. And it's funny because with that, we carried all the baggage of, well, that's that kid band, you know, even when we're like in our 20s. But with that, being like a skate punk band locally, we became friends with like Strung Out because they're not from super far away. And that was the first band that took me out to work with them when I was 18. And that kind of, that's like the beginning spiral of me like, oh, I guess I'll start working for bands and kind of solidifying our identity as like trying to carry the torch of skate punk in California for another generation. Which is funny because so that band I was in, it was called The Sheds, and it was like way more straight up like Lagwagon skate punk. And coming forward to Cosmic Joke stuff, it's funny because it's one of my brothers and then the same drummer of that band. And we're like, funny how we like try to do a hardcore band and it's just pretty much always going to be a skate punk band.
It's funny you say that because I will say the first time I heard Cosmic Joke, it was just given maybe who recommended it, I was like, well, this isn't what I expected, but it's probably better than anything I would have than I thought it would be.
I appreciate it.
Because I was telling you, Tony, like I was like, this brings me back to, you mentioned Tony Hawk Pro Skater, it brings me back to kind of that with an edge, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
Cosmic Joke could have been on that soundtrack, but it probably would have been, you know, one of the heavier bands.
Yeah, we I mean, there's a whole story of how that all happened, but at some point, like when that old band was breaking up and stuff, my brother and I, Morgan, he plays guitar for us and does the majority of the writing of the music. We just started jamming because I play drums also and just messing around with like our all-time favorite band is Bad Religion. We're like, let's just do some like, let's do the ultimate Brian Baker band. So it's like Dag Nasty riffs with Bad Religion, a little bit of Minor Threat. Like just that guy,
you get
was perfect. Yeah. And so we wrote just the music for like three songs that were going to be on the demo with our friend Vince, who's also in the band. He plays in Dead Heat as well. And he used to play in like an emo band called Souvenirs that toured quite a bit. So he came in and joined us and, you know, we wrote three songs and then we just did nothing with it. I never did vocals. It was just like, those are fun iPhone demos. And then during the pandemic kind of circled back to like, I just want to make something. And I haven't played in a band in going on 7 years at the time. We haven't played in a band together, Vince and I. Let's just like make a demo. Maybe we'll play a show here and there if like friends come to town. But yeah, the mission statement was just like, if Bad Religion was a DC hardcore band or something. At first.
I love
That's
that.
Awesome. That is great. Yeah. So that you started obviously before it sounds like the pandemic, but then during the pandemic, you were like, let's put a name on this. Let's try to make it a thing. Maybe is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Kinda. And even then it was like, we, Vince and I wrote two more songs and then we kind of got like, at first it was even just going to be Vince and like, I'll play drums and I'll sing. Vince can play everything else. We'll just put a demo, throw it out there for fun. And then as we demoed it out, Morgan, my brother's like, well, what the hell? I want to do this too. I wrote half the songs. And then the drummer of my old band was like, what, you're going to sing and play drums? Like, and I was like, all right, cool. So we kind of like fleshed it out, figured it out. And then funny, you should bring up the name earlier. Cause like forever in our old band, a game to pass the time in the van was always like band names and what kind of band it sounds like. And we would just make up sometimes super offensive names, sometimes, but like,
let's hear some of
you
them.
Know, my favorite that I, my favorite was the Power Violence band, Connor Clapton.
Wow. That's but, that, yeah. I would not think Power Violence.
But anyways, so where was I going with that? Cosmic Joke was like a name that came to mind, and we're like, that's the perfect 80s punk band. And how is it not seemingly taken?
That's what we said. How is it not taken? Yeah. I don't know. People sleep at the wheel like, for 40 years. Like, what?
Yeah. And it's almost like the band name dictated what the band was going to sound like. Like, it's like, we have to lean into this further now.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, we lucked out with that one. Yeah. And then cut two, we put out the demo. Just for fun, I think a few months later, or maybe a year later, pandemic is kind of winding down a little. We played our first show with Restraining Order, and it was super fun. But you know, why we can't really do stuff. I'm gone 6 to 10 months out of the year touring with bands. Our drummer, he just opened up a restaurant. He's a chef. Our bassist plays in this band called Honey that's on Epitaph. They're like an indie pop band. They're on tour all the time. One of the guys plays in Dead Heat, and then everyone else has like real like office jobs, or you know, we're just, I wish we were still 25 and could just like eat it, but we can't. So we weren't really planning on doing much of anything. And then Jimmy, who he runs Tied Down, the fest in Detroit, and he does Edgeman, the print shop that has shows all the time, he's an old friend of mine, he asked us to play on Tied Down last year, and which would have been our second show. And I was like,
wow,
I'm flattered. That's awesome. We have 5 minutes of music, and I don't think we can justify going to Michigan for our second show. And then he's like, well, I want you to play, so you guys should play. And we're like, all right, we're not going to say no to this when he starts telling us the other bands on it and everything. And like, we need to write more, and we need to play as many shows as possible between now and then, so that I feel like we earned it, kind of, you know, like, just there's a reason for us to take up space. So we wrote the rest of what became the record and recorded it with Taylor Young, who is a friend of ours locally. He is the studio of The Pit. And then we started playing a lot of shows. It's funny because around the Tied Down announcement, again, we still hadn't played a second show at all. We had a demo that's 2 years old at this point. So all these like podcast, like local Detroit podcasts and stuff, start going over the lineup and trying to talk about all the bands, and every single one of them, when they'd get to us, be like, who is this?
And I then can't they, find they, anything about this band. Yeah.
And then they start like guessing, and it's so funny. I think one of them, I'm forgetting which band, but they're like, well, these guys all look like they're another, but they've probably been around a long time. I think that's one of the Down to Nothing guys. They just start like guessing stuff. And couldn't be more off.
These guys are from Virginia. Yeah.
So that's kind of like why we started running with, I mean, obviously we didn't come up with like, who the fuck is somebody, but that's why we started running with, who the fuck is Cosmic Joke? Because we, it's not even like making fun of us. We did pop up out of nowhere, and it's just because Jimmy awesome. Put us on that fest, which kind of is like why we bothered doing anything. And then, you know, Taylor recorded the stuff. His brother Colin, who runs Hardlore, who does the Hardlore podcast with our friend Bo, also. Colin's a good friend of mine from here. We're from the same area, the San Fernando Valley. And once we recorded with Taylor, at first they started pushing it to Triple B to put it out. And then Colin starts playing it for Bo, and they're like, I mean, why don't we put this out? Like, and it then Sam already wanted to put it out, so it just became like we can split it, let's just,
it's a bidding war for Cosmic Joke. It's a bidding
war. The band that's played six shows and has now 15 minutes of music.
It's a wild story if you think about it. Like,
it's pretty just, funny. It just kind of all fell into place. And then it's funny because like, I do consider us a hardcore band, but we're definitely not what we don't sound like Marauder or most of the other stuff, you know, that Triple B is putting out either. So but it's cool. It's I, you know, there's other there are bands that sound like us, but they're not what XB9 board users are looking at. It's, you know, you'll find us bands like us playing Punk in the Park with Descendants, not Sound and Fury or whatever. Like,
I'm offended. I'm personally, I was gonna say, attacked.
Anthony, are you offended? Because you were definitely one of those guys.
It's my favorite shit in the world. But I'm just saying, yeah. We're just playing. It's fun playing this kind of music and presenting it to a different audience than would normally be looking for it.
So if Jimmy from Tied Down Fest never reached out, we wouldn't be chatting. Or would we? Would you guys have still pursued it, you think? Like, pursued being a band?
I mean, I, from the second we did the demo, really wanted to. And it's funny because I'm the guy who's gone the most. Like, when I'm home, though, I'm just home. So I'm like, if I'm not on tour, I'm like, let's make some stuff. Let's play some shows. I want to do whatever. But I don't know that everybody else would have, like, used their limited time to do it the same way. And then
right on. Yeah,
it kind of snowballed once we started playing shows. And, you know, everyone else plays in or played in bands years ago. And we kind of, including myself, all kind of, like, got it out of our system that we were going to play shows ever again. Like, I just was like, well, I guess I don't play in a band anymore. And then playing the first few, it kind of, like, rekindled that like love for just being on stage. And, you know, whether it's the amount of shows I've played to 5 or 10 people in a basement or something. I mean, Cosmic Joke played a laundromat for our last show. And, like, I didn't think at 32 I would miss that the same way that right. I used to, you know.
I love that.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, there's a love for it that we can hear in your voice, but we understand that too, going to those shows and being in those small rooms and seeing those bands. I know you, especially Anthony, you know, 20, 25 years of doing that and finding those kind of hole in the wall venues back in 2000 and catching these bands on their way up that would be playing today. We see it, you know, what was that place we saw Bane this summer?
Roadrunner.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
And now they're playing 4K cap rooms. It's
it's wild. So,
I mean, it's just so different than it used to be, too. Where, like, I don't know, even I know, like, what Cosmic Joke has going. We have, you know, a little momentum, but it's nothing crazy. But, like, what we have now to scale of what this would have been 10 years ago is even more minute. Like, everything is, you know, multiplied tenfold from what it was before. It's crazy.
So we get the story of how you guys came together. You got the label interests. The whole story is awesome. And the fact that, like, the name was kind of on deck from, like, just dicking around is awesome. Yeah. But the record's been out at the time of recording, like, 10 days. We love it. All the reviews are super positive. Where are you at with it? Like, because this was, like, a thing internally for a while. Then there's music out. So now the world's heard it. And you've probably looked at that stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, Colin and I have just been talking about how it's best case scenario, how it's been going. Like,
agree. Yeah.
We know that we're different for who was going to be hearing it and stuff. And it's been awesome. And starting Friday, this upcoming Friday, we have, like, a 5-day tour with Destiny Bond and our release show is on Saturday. And we're just like, okay, these are going to be the first shows where people have been able to hear these songs. We've been playing all these songs.
Oh, that's right.
For a year, yeah. But now people have had the chance to hear it, not just from a YouTube video or something. So we're all super anxious to see how that goes. Cause we recorded these last March. We were hoping to have them out for Tied Down and then we were just going to put them out, but because of Triple B and everything, then it was like, okay, we got to wait for vinyl to get pressed. All right, let's just wait a minute. And then we had to wait for this. We had to wait for that, for the art to get finished, everything. And now it's finally out. So it's, and not to mention as a full length, like, we've been changing the language of it, depending who we're talking to, whether it's an LP or it's a full length vinyl. Cause it's the demo remixed, remastered, and then 4 new songs. But because no one had heard the demo, we were like, all right, it's all new to most people. It all fits together. Those old songs aren't dated. Like, it's a full length. So yeah, just to have the new songs out there, so anxious to see how people respond to it live. But all, yeah, what I've been so surprised by is people understanding what we're trying to do, because it's really easy as a more melodic band playing in hardcore to get attached, and no shade to any of these bands, but to get like Military Gun, friends of ours, great band, or to get No Pressure or Koyo or something, like all these, sure, Fiddlehead. Yep. I love a lot of these bands, but we, while we are melodic, are trying to pull from a very different well of inspirations. And most people have been getting that, which is really cool.
It's, for me, I live in that kind of, a lot of those bands you just mentioned, that's like in my wheelhouse for that world. So I like this because it's a little, it's not different. Obviously you're pulling from kind of some of that skate punk stuff too, but I like hearing a fresh take on it. You know what I mean? Like I've listened to all those bands. I played Tony Hawk when I was 16. I know all that, you know, the history of it, but when looking for new things, it's fun that you guys now come along and give me that kind of shot in the arm. I hadn't been getting recently, which is pretty cool.
I mean, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. It's just cool. Like, I mean, and it's funny because of course there's probably 22-year-olds reading, like listening to the record, reading something and going like, this reminds me of Swingin' Utters. Like, no, it doesn't, but I'm glad you're saying that. That's awesome.
Right. Yeah. Whatever you make a connection with.
But just like, oh, I'm glad you just Googled Good Riddance. But yeah, check them out. They're great. You know?
Hey, you mentioned the artwork. The artwork is all time. And there's a detail that I just noticed yesterday that like makes it completely next level. What do you think I'm going to say?
Is it that the TV's unplugged?
The TV is fucking unplugged. Oh, it's so good. It's amazing.
It's funny because none of us, like, I noticed that on the final draft. But it's just because like, well, what could you possibly notice that's not obvious immediately? Damn.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Couldn't believe that we got that art. I mean, it took forever to get it, and it was so worth it to get the final product and then to hold it in my hands full size as an LP.
It's the artwork is next level. You know, the name is next level. You guys, the songs are awesome. Like, I fucking love Kamikaze. I love the opening, just kind of, this is what you're going to get from us. That riff is fucking badass. Like, it's, we're fans, obviously, and really, really excited for what you guys have been able to pull off here. And it feels, for some people, it probably feels like a short amount of time, but, you know, over the course of 4, 5, 6 years.
Yeah, it's been like a, I guess, kind of a long game conception of this kind of band, but it also feels like we've only really been doing it since this time last year. Like really doing it. But yeah, we were super lucky to get that art done. Ryan Besh, who did the art, he's a super well, like, renowned poster artist for gig posters, done a lot of album art as well. But my brother Morgan, he also works in merchandise for bands, but on the office side of things. Nice. So he's often commissioning artists to do posters for some of these bigger tours and stuff. And it's funny because whenever we would like play a show and get tagged in Instagram stories or something, random like people we work with, whether it's like people I've toured with or people he works with on the office, like, oh, you play in a punk band? And this artist Ryan reaches out to Morgan, who Morgan's had do like Primus posters and stuff, and he's just like, oh, whoa, wow. Like, I'm from hardcore and punk and I never get to work on this stuff, please let me do something for you guys. And we're like, we don't have Primus money. But which yeah,
we get Cosmic Joke like, no, money
just,
though.
Yeah, he's like, please just let me do something, like we'll figure it out. Just so then he hits us with a sketch of it and we're like, go off, please do. He's like, just do whatever you're comfortable with probably getting very underpaid for. And yeah, he turned that in for, and just as it's going, the whole thing is coming together. The back cover of the record, the detail to that is really cool. If you go to his Instagram, he wrote a whole story about the idea. Like, I didn't even realize how much thought he put into everything, but it's kind of comic book style on the front. So the back cover is the work in progress paste up version, as he called it, where it's like, you can see eraser marks. There's masking tape around the edges. There's like pencil and before it's fully lined of like green pencil for like outlining it. And his explanation was, as it has the demo as part of it, that's kind of the B-side. It's the work in progress. As you flip it over, it's like the same art, but not finished. And it's, I don't know, it's just, it's so cool to have like one more brilliant mind working on our whole art project as this whole thing is. So we're really lucky to have him involved.
It's crazy to me. I love hearing those stories because my brain doesn't work that way. Like, I'm a very, a 2+2=4. You need to show me the directions. I'll figure them out from there type of person. So to see that like abstract, like, all right, here's the final on the front and here's the demo version of it on the back. That's so fucking cool, man. And
yeah, it's like the song titles like taped on, and it's like clearly like how he was, I mean, he did it all by hand and then scanned it in. So this is the analog version before it gets digitized, and really cool.
Very, very cool.
Man. Yeah. The album's great. 9 songs, 15 minutes. It's like, I don't go into the office a lot, but my commute to the office is exactly 15 minutes. And the other day I did go in, and it, like, I pulled in right as Morphine was finishing, and I'm like, all right, I think I found my new driving record.
Right.
It's awesome. I love to hear it.
Tempered Expectations, I think, is my favorite track.
That's my favorite too.
Yeah. Like the hill that you're climbing is not so steep. Your vocal delivery, it's a little different. So I don't know. Are you channeling anything with that? Cause I can think of a few things, but I'm curious from your perspective.
So in my previous bands, I sang much cleaner. And I also yelled a little like this, but I've never been able to like scream or, you know, it's always like warping a note into a yell or something. And when we were writing that song, we were really thinking like maybe some like Buzzcocks or Marked Men type, like poppier punk, but we still wanted me mostly yelling it so that it was still like a hardcore song. And when that chorus hit, it was just like, all right, we need a hook here for sure. So it's like, I decided to actually sing it and even have a harmony on it. But I kind of just sing, I guess, a little closer to how I used to sing, which was always very Joey Cape, a little bit of Fat Mike influenced. But I always loved like Millen Colin also, stuff like that. Felt appropriate there.
And then into Cosmic Joke, and Tony and I were talking about it, like, having the name of the track same as your band, like Minor Threat obviously is the classic example. That's exactly where my head went. But we were talking, it's the perfect song for that title. You know what I mean? So I don't know what came first, the song or the title.
So the band was already called Cosmic Joke. I think, so that was the first song on the demo. So the way it's sequenced is the B-side, track 5 through 9 is the demo still in the sequence of the demo. And Cosmic Joke was the first track on there, but it's the last one that we wrote for it. And right, I kind of, as I was writing, I was writing playing drums with Vince while he was playing it on the guitar. And I was like, this thing is so punchy. This is like the mission statement song. And I started writing all the lyrics, and then it was like, this, what this is about is kind of the Cosmic Joke. It's kind of perfect. All right, let's just, we need our theme song, you know?
Well, if it's perfect. Yeah, it couldn't have been titled anything else. And I mean, it obviously could have, but it wouldn't have that same punch. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because Vince wrote that one, who he's the one who plays in Dead Heat and stuff. He's more like, we've all been involved going to hardcore shows, but we've never written, like Morgan, our other guitarist, we've never written music that's just like straight up hardcore. Like, he writes Propaganda riffs, not caveman riffs. And so Vince and I are writing, and he's just like jamming down on these chords super hard and super punchy. I'm like, this is awesome. And as he's teaching it to the rest of the band, they're like, this makes no sense. Like, these notes don't go in order. Like, and he's like, yeah, it's great. So that one's super fun because it's, I think, our only song that's just written like a hardcore song first, not a punk song first.
So you've taken from some of these places influentially. You've played places both with Cosmic Joke and with your previous band. Where do you feel most comfortable playing now? Are you like, put me on Tied Down again, or do you want, you know, opening for a band more in the skate punk vibe? Where would you be the most comfortable right now?
I want this band to play hardcore shows. Like I said, we could easily, if we play with punk bands, which I would also love to, it's easier to disappear into the crowd. We're just another punk band. There's also not as sad as it is, because I still think of punk as like this, as youthful music. There's not a newer crop of skatey punk bands really for us to play with.
I was thinking that same thing.
We, between my previous band, The Sheds, and this, three of us also did a band called Wince, and we put out a 7-inch, and they were kind of like songs that were going to be for The Sheds, but were a little more technical. And, you know, I'm really proud of those songs. We never once played a show, because as soon as we did it, we're like, what are we going to do? Wait for Wilhelm Scream to come through and we'll open that. Like, there's not bands for us to play with, really. And that's why this is fun. It's like, we're still kind of playing that kind of music, but there's a community to be involved in, and it's happening not only right now, but it's always going to be happening. And it does make me sad that, like, just more traditional, like, for lack of a better word, traditional pop punk won't really be around unless kids, younger kids, get into it, which is kind of, once again, what I'd be happy to help introduce. I would love to introduce a Pain of Truth fan. Again, love that band, not knocking it, but to NOFX or something. And maybe they won't be into it, but I'm going to do my best.
One, there's, for, you're speaking our language, because we love all of it. So there are a lot of those people out there, and finding those people, or not necessarily finding them because they exist, showing someone they can be that person, that's kind of cool. Like, that's what we kind of aim to do with this podcast, is like, all right, we're going to have you today. We're going to have Sean from Taking Back Sunday at one point. We're going to have a hip hop artist the next day. Like, we're trying to do, hey, you can like all of it. You can pull from all of this stuff.
I mean, I love Hatebreed as much as I love the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, as much as I love Sunny Day Real Estate, as like, and even in Cosmic Joke, there's a little bit of all of that. Like, it's, doesn't have to be one thing. And as long as you can do it in a tasteful way, that's not like jarring.
That's such an interesting position to be in, because you can play the Tied Downs, you can play Sound and Fury, you could go on tour with Bad Religion or AF, but I could see you guys playing with like Righteous Jams too. You know what I mean? It's like back in the day.
Yeah.
It's just,
and my old band, we were like, we started kind of as a ska punk band, and we also were involved in hardcore because there weren't ska bands to play with. So we would locally play with the hardcore bands or the pop punk bands or whoever. And I think we all, because it's three of the same people, like, carry that with us now. Like, I would absolutely play with ska bands with Cosmic Joke if it was the right show. Like, because at the end of the day, it is all punk music to me. And the same way as when I was 12 wandering on Warped Tour and I was like, oh, Taking Back Sunday over here, Less Than Jake over here, I don't know any better. This is all punk music. I'm 12. I don't know. I would like to see the newer generations be open-minded to all that as well.
There's probably less of that today than there should be. Although I do think heavy music being a little more, it's way more popular than I think it was when we were growing up, Anthony. It's helping people find that they like more than just one thing. But I wish more of it happened. And I'm glad that it's starting to turn that way. I think coming out of the pandemic, we're getting more of those bands like yours, that there's a bunch of things that influenced you, and you can live in a bunch of different worlds, and we love that shit. Like, that's the stuff that is right up our alley.
Yeah, I mean, we played one of our last shows was with Twitching Tongues and MS Paint and Missing Link and Cruelty, a death metal band.
Crazy range. Yep.
Yeah, and that maybe could have happened 10 years ago, but it wouldn't have worked as well. Because some of our best sets have been on a straight up heavy show, and we are not a heavy band. We're an aggressive band, but that's different from being a hard or heavy band. And I just think it's really cool to see whether, I don't know if there's as many kids walking around who are like, I love ska and I love metal as there once was, but there are more people who will stand in a room and watch every band and accept it all than there used to be. Or like kids getting beat up for moshing wrong. That doesn't happen now, or rarely happens now, when it used to happen a lot more.
I'm curious, because you're in an interesting position where you were in bands when you were much younger. Now you're still in bands when you're older. but you also have a taste of the music industry. So like, I'm curious, what's different this time around than like maybe like when the Sheds existed when you were early 20s? Like, what's different now?
I mean, I won't get, because this band is never going to like tour hard the way, I mean, the Sheds used to go out for 150 days in a year of DIY shows.
Oh, wow.
It was ill-advised, but I'm glad I did it.
Wouldn't recommend it, but I did it, yeah, and it is,
yeah,
what it is.
And now, yeah, I mean, like, if I didn't do that, I don't know if I would be doing this now either. But I won't ever really know what that's like. But I do know the landscape has changed in general as far as, like, Cosmic Joke has as much, if not more, than the Sheds ever had, and we worked our asses off, and Cosmic Joke has not really worked our asses
right
off.
Yeah.
And you can play, I mean, Colin's bands, God's Hate and Twitching Tongues, can play 7 shows in a year and get the same output as if they, I mean, they also were touring super hard, and they're doing much better now than they ever did
then.
Way
bigger now. Way bigger.
And I think it's a quality versus quantity, but along with that, there's such an insane quantity of bands trying to do it, which there wasn't then either. I don't know. It's crazy. I talk about this often to see how like the landscape has flipped as well. Cause even when the Sheds started doing stuff, when I was 18, 19, I started just booking these suicidal tours of like 60 dates, no days off, because you assume a couple of shows will just fall through.
What were you thinking, man? What were you thinking?
And like, they're all door deals where we hopefully get $150 for gas. And then sleeping in a Walmart parking lot, because at least they got a 24-hour bathroom and security. And like, I think about how when we were doing that was right when things really changed as far as MySpace and the internet dictating how things worked as far as who's getting bigger. And you did, I 2 years before that got the idea that we have to tour our asses off, because I was watching like Bouncing Souls in a documentary be like, that's what you do, you just eat it forever, right, and then hopefully it works, yep, out. And then I was like, cool, that's what we're gonna do. And then we go on Warped Tour, we meet a band who's crushing the same stage as us to like 700 people, which is now a small crowd because things are magnified. But and they've been a band for 3 months, and they're telling us like, oh yeah, we just spent the last year on MySpace working on this band, not playing. And it's just we were in this weird window between bust ass and book your own tours and work on social media and who cares about the music.
Yeah, you could do it so much more intelligently now, like with all the metrics, yeah, available. Like,
yeah,
you at 32 is probably like, all right, well, you know, you might turn down a gig because you know, there's no following there, you know what I mean?
But there's no, at least, I mean, maybe things are changing because the record's out, but there's no following anywhere. I just want to get out there.
Right, there you go.
The way we book right now is, am I home? Are two of the other guys that tour home? Do you guys have bankable hours to leave work? Cool, then let's go wherever, honestly. Or if it's a fly date, can we afford to get there? But yeah, I think it's weird because for a few years there, you would see that hardcore bands weren't really touring unless it's the bigger ones, unless it's Terror, Turnstile, and if they're having bands support them. But in the last, I want to say 4 years, maybe just before the pandemic till now, you're kind of seeing people get that earlier spirit of just like book a DIY tour, because there's kids that will go to it now, which there weren't for a long time. I mean, Tsunami, I think last year did like a 30-day tour that they booked completely themselves, and every single date sold out. And I don't even know those guys, but I'm just like, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Like 1,000 cap rooms too, which is,
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild.
And no agents involved at all. Just door deal with the venue, hand me some cash. Everyone had a good night. Everyone's bills are paid. Like, nice. Awesome.
Yeah, it's certainly, we're in a weird time, I think, but in a good way. Like,
absolutely. I think there's a lot of good and a lot of bad and a lot of ways to feel about how things are going and the amount of young kids at shows and how TikTok is affecting shows and all this. But like, I think overall it's a net positive for everybody. there's going to be those weird moments where like a TikTok kid ends up at a show and he doesn't know what he's in for and he gets kicked in the face and then he doesn't know how to react the way we all want him to react and gets his parents. And like, there's always going to be some weird stuff, but like everyone learns. And overall, it's really cool to see this thing growing the way it is.
Well, I like that as a band, there's no pressure for you to stay a band. Like, you can go on hiatus and never claim that you broke up, and you can do like the Incendiary model where you just do nights and weekends. You know what I mean? Like that didn't exist it really didn't exist 5 years ago. It really didn't.
No, absolutely. And like, you know, if we do it, we'll probably, I mean, when we do it, we lose some money, but we are all adults with jobs, which we weren't when we were 22. And we wanted that band to work so bad as if it was life or death. But now it's like, I was just on tour for 3 months. I'll spend a little money. We can go to tie down out of pocket or whatever. But even for the bigger bands like Incendiary or God's Hate or whoever's doing these fly dates, the shows are like legitimately good. Good in a way where like the first bands that were taking me on tour and paying me, these shows are bigger than that even. So it's like you can play 3 shows in a weekend and not only have your bases covered, but like justify leaving your family for the weekend or whatever. And totally. It wasn't like that before. I talk about this all the time. I used to go to shows at Chain Reaction forever. And I remember being like, holy shit, Have Heart sold 300 tickets. That's crazy. There's like 2 other bands. It's like only Have Heart and Trash Talk and Ceremony can sell that place out. And now there are 60 hardcore bands that can sell out Chain Reaction.
Yeah. Yep. Immediately. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, man, and the model, the weekend model, the weekend warrior model is alive and well and a good thing for all genres of music. But it's bringing it, obviously, in 2023, it brought a million bands out of the woodwork. It's like, we can do this on our terms. And you can start a band on your terms if you're an adult, like you are, in a position where you have a job and can maybe take a Friday off and work for the weekend with the band, because that may be your happy place too. Like, this is all... we're not making any money doing this. We're enjoying doing it. It's one of those things that, like, if you don't have it, what do you, you know, I need.
No, this is a net negative.
Yeah. But it's fulfilling in a different way. I mean, it's what we've always called a very expensive hobby. But it's
totally,
you know, I since the Sheds broke up, I mean, even before that, but since then I've been on tour for 8 years working for bands, and I do love my job. Like, I'm really lucky to do what I do. And I, you know, my wife understands, and that I've always been touring since we've been together. So that's not a problem. And I really love what I do. I would love to be on stage. And in the last year and moving into this year, I was like, I'm going to reel it in on the tours I'm accepting for work so I can do this for fun, because it's fulfilling in a very different way that I didn't realize I was missing for 8 years.
That's awesome. Yeah. You're paying yourself, man, whether it be in money or not. You're paying yourself. You're paying your soul.
Yeah. Well, and it helps. Like, if I keep myself happy with this, it adds to the longevity of how long I'll really want to stay on tour. Because if I was going out for 9 months a year, I definitely don't think I would do it till I'm 50. You know, like, I'm not going to just want to do that forever. But I can do it longer if I'm also happy and get to do some other things.
Mac, we're chatting with you at a super cool time because... like, you haven't toured off the material. Like, it's out in the world. You have no idea how people are going to react. I think it's going to be very positive. I do.
I really like, don't.
The music's great. Yeah, don't? Oh, wow.
No, no, I don't have any idea. I hope they react.
I thought you said I don't think they'll react great.
Oh, I mean, we'll see. It's funny because the whole time, yeah, we've been having a great time, and but it's not like we've had kids singing along, really. Maybe a couple here and there. So this weekend, like in a few days, is going to be super telling of like if it already kind of popped, you know, a week into it being out or not. But I can't wait to see how it goes.
Yeah, and this is coming out probably after this run of shows, unfortunately. But you're playing at the end or the beginning of March too, right?
We're doing another fest called Rapid Fest that's about to announce in Simi Valley, California. That's like put on by Thrasher. So it's nice. Still a hardcore fest, but a little skate crossover with that. And then, yeah, beginning of March, we'll be in Tacoma for just another gig, which I'm so excited for that one. It's put on by some of the organizers who used to do Rainfest up in Seattle. I haven't been to JAG yet, but every year it looks incredible. The lineup this year, I can't believe, like, I think they were trying to do it in a bigger room and something fell through. So now it's still in a 400 cap, but it's just the most stacked show that could possibly be in a 400 cap.
Who's on that one?
That one's got Terror, Twitching Tongues, Killing Time.
400 cap. Jesus, I might. Yeah, it's probably sold out. I'm not flying out there.
It is sold out.
We can find a way. We could bring Nate. He'd be finding a way in. So
yeah, we'll figure it out. But it's fucked up that it's going to be in that room. But yeah, pretty exciting.
All right. So you're playing Just Another Gig. We just talked about it. Excited. The record's out. You go check it out if you haven't listened to it yet. And this is the first you're hearing of Cosmic Joke. What's wrong with you? Go check it out. But if not, you know, you heard about it. You're excited about it just like we are. So thank you, Mac, for coming on with us tonight, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This has been great. I don't know, it's funny. I feel like we're talking like we've already known each other and we met seconds before this.
Yeah. No, we love that shit because it's always fun to meet new people, hear new bands, hear all kinds of this stuff. And you've fulfilled another, you're keeping our bucket full tonight by being able to talk music with you. So thanks.
Oh, for sure. And yeah, I mean, if you see me that I'm coming through, even with another band or something, it'd be cool to meet up.
Right on. New England. If you're New England bound, well, I was going to say, if you're anywhere in New England, we'll be there. That's not the truth.
That's tough. Yeah. We're
New Hampshire, Maine, we'll be there for sure.
Parts of Mass. Cool. Yeah.
I'll be back for sure.
Hell yeah, man. I mean, if we had known, obviously, if we'd known you back in the fall, we would have hit you up. But yeah, when you're back through the Portland area, maybe in the summertime, who knows? The summertime's always kind of nice up here. So
I'm trying to think. I know I'm doing the next leg of that Death Cab tour, but I think the closest it probably goes to you guys is like Albany. Like all the spots we missed.
Yep. Cool. Well, awesome, man. Thank you for joining us again tonight, and we look forward to all that Cosmic Joke has to offer for us going forward.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thanks, Mac. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Patio Slave. We are at Patio Slave on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of the places that you can find us on social media. Facebook, Patio Slave Podcast, YouTube, Patio Slave Podcast there. Email us at patioslavepodcast@gmail.com. And hey, if you want to become a supporter, click on the link at the bottom of the episode and give us $1, give us $5. It keeps the lights on, keeps us going. We really appreciate that stuff. Thank you.